We begin the current daf Masechet Nisgit in Daf Samach Beis. We begin 3 lines down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues with a related discussion of the previous daf. That is on Amud Beis, the previous daf, with a conversation focused on Rava's interpretation of the halacha of our Mishnah. As we see in a Mishnah that was brought in Masechet Demai, there is a halacha that there's a concern when someone gives things that are tahar to an Am Haaretz, we have to suspect that the Am Haaretz had touched it. Although he's not going to switch it necessarily, and that was the discussion in the previous daf, but touching, we have to suspect that he's going to touch it. Now, related to this halacha, the Gemara introduces the following brisa. Hey, Rabbi Yisi ben HaMeshulam Meshum Rabbi Yechanan Achav. Rabbi Yisi, the son of Meshulam, said testimony in the name of his brother Rabbi Yechanan, Sha'am and Meshum Rabbi Loz Mechesma, who said over in the name of Rabbi Loz Mechesma, the following halacha. Ein Eisen Chalas Am Haaretz B'Tahara. One is not allowed to separate the chala of Am Haaretz in a state of purity. Now, the case of what we're discussing over here is when you have an Am Haaretz who tells a Talmudic scholar that's a kneader, what his job is that he kneads the dough and he separates, he works on the dough. Now, so the Am Haaretz tells him, do me a favor, you know, this is your profession, I want you to separate the chala that has to go to the kayin from my dough and do it in a state of purity. So that's what the Bryce is telling, that he's not allowed to listen to him, he's not allowed to take that job. Why? Because this dough already became tummy by the hands of the Am Haaretz. How to become dough? The Am Haaretz already took the flour with the water and he made it into dough. Now he wants the kneader to finish up the job. And he wants him also, when he's finishing up the job and making it into the challah, he wants him to separate challah and give it to the kohen. Now the problem with that is that the kohen will rely on this kneader who is a Talmudic scholar. Oh, he must have done it in a state of purity. And the problem is that yes, whatever the kohen did, that's the one who needs the dough, he did in state of tahara, but the dough itself, before the guy started braiding and doing all the things, he already made it tummy. So then you can't take such a job, because then the kohen's going to assume that it's tahara, and it's really not, it's tummy. And truma that's tummy, you can't eat. Aval, but says the b'raisa, oisin isas chulov. But he could make his flour into dough, bit tahara in the state of purity, and then anut lemenikadei chala. And then he could go ahead and separate chala from that dough, because again, it never became tummy, because when the Am Haaretz had it, it was only flour. And then, umanicha bekfisha oivan chusa. Then they could put it into these types of utensils that are made out of worn-out leather flasks, where it's for two reasons, that as we'll see later on the Gemara, is that, first of all, the Am Haaretz doesn't generally, it's not usually put dough into these types of flasks. So it's a hecker, it's a sign that something here is different. He's not going to just so easily touch it. And moreover, the flasks themselves are not makabel tuma. So the flask is not a problem. And moreover, about taking it out and touching it is also not a concern, because he's not going to touch it. He's going to realize, hey, this is that holy stuff that I'm not supposed to touch. Now, moreover, says the Braisu, Kishaba Am Haaretz Lital, when the Am Haaretz comes to take back the finished product that the Gavel had done, Nitil Eshtein, he takes back both of them. He takes back, A, his bread that was finished up by the kneader, his dough, and moreover, he takes back the challah, which was separated to give to the kohen. And the ein chayshish, and the gavel, the kneader, doesn't have to be concerned that maybe the Am Haaretz is going to touch the challah and make it tummy, which that's going to be problematic, because he's going to have the stamp of approval of this Talmud Chacham, who said, I did impurity, but maybe later on, the Am Haaretz is going to touch it before he gives it to the kohen. That, we don't have to be concerned, as the Gemara will later on explain. Similar type of a case, says the Braisa, the ein oisin trumas zesav b'tahara. This kohen that works as a presser of olives, he can't make the olives of the Am Haaretz to separate his truma from him in the state of tahara, where, because it's talking about that after the olives were already prepared to be pressed, where now the chaver, the Talmud Chacham, that's a presser, can't go ahead and separate the truma to make it in the state of tahara, because it was already susceptible to tumah in the utensil that has it when it gets warmed together before it's put into the pressing. It already had liquid already that was there already, that oozed out, and it could contract tumah, and it became tummy when the Am Haaretz touched it. Now again, you're going to run into the problem if this one who does the pressing of the olives is going to take the job, then the kohen who's going to get it with his stamp of approval is going to rely on him that it's tar, and the problem is it was already tummy before he ever got it. So you can't take that job. Aval, again, like in the first case, eisen zesem chulav b'tahara, but he could take the olives before they're prepared for the pressing, when they're still, when he's taking it from him, the chulin olives, to make it and to process it, the first step in tahara. Then the noitelemen, the kedei truma, then they could go ahead and take off the truma from those olives, because again, it was never yet susceptible to tumo when they had taken it from the Am Haaretz. And then umanicha bekel yishal chaver, and then he puts the truma of these olives into his own, into the Talmud Chacham's own receptacles. Ukshaba amaretz litla, when the amaretz comes to take, he takes both, meaning his olives which were pressed, or he gets his olive oil, and he also has the truma olives in another keli, that of the chaver's kelim, of the presser's kelim, and you don't have to be concerned. Now, the Gemara wonders, v'taim am I? What's the reason of this braisa? Why did Rabbanah permit to be so lenient regarding the halachas of truma, like this leniency? Because the problem is, you should be concerned that maybe he did go ahead and touch it, which was the question that we had addressed and brought up previously, that how are we going ahead and having this leniency? He might touch it, and then it's going to go to the kain. The kain's going to have truma in its tummy. So Amr B'Yechanan, he says, Mishum kedechayiv de gavel. The reason why we do this is because of this, the livelihood, the sustenance of the kneader, who needs the dough. Umishum kedechayiv de bad, and also because of the livelihood and the parnasa of the olive presser. Now, Utsrichan, the Gemara explains, we needed both of these cases in the Braisa to mention this halacha that we're more lenient regarding, and we'll, the Gemara will shortly address it, what do you mean? For someone's panasa, you don't let truma become tummy and then give it to the kayin. So we'll address why it's not such a concern. But even though it's not such a concern, but why we were lenient at all, we were lenient for the livelihood of these righteous pressers and the kneaders, and we have to mention both of those cases. Why? The Ashmin and Gavel, how do you only say the leniency regarding the one who needs the dough? Mishum de nafash agri. He doesn't make a lot of money. That's a very low-paying job. So therefore, he's definitely poor, and he needs sustenance. So for him, we were lenient. Avol bada de nafash agri, but regarding an olive presser, who he gets paid a lot, Emaloy, I would say that maybe we weren't lenient regarding him. And he can't take the job in all these situations. And there, because you're going to have a problem about when you give it back to him, that he's going to be metamit. Now, b'yashmin b'adad, and that we had we mentioned only the case of the guy who's al oppressor, mishum d'leshchiyachle. It's very hard for him to find work because although it's a high-paying job, it's only once a year. It's annual when they do the olive pressing. So therefore, you got to give him these jobs because if he doesn't have these jobs, he's not having panos of a whole nother year. Avogavod d'leshchiyachle, but for a kneader who he has work, everyone's always making doughs. It just doesn't get paid so much. Emelai, I would say that there you're not lenient and he can't take the job from the ama aretz. That's why we needed both of these cases to say that because of their parnasa, we are lenient and we're not going to be concerned that the Yom Haaretz touched it after he processed it. Again, certain cases, we never let him take the job because it's already tummy from before. But even when he's doing a state of purity, we're not going to be concerned, as the Gemara will illustrate, what steps we took. But again, we only took those steps because of the livelihood of this chaver, of this Talmud Chacham, that's the kneader and the presser. So the Gemara goes to explain, Amamar, we mentioned in this Braisa, that noitel hem men kedichala. In other words, when are you allowed to? When he took the flour from him, again, it wasn't dough when he took it from Amma Oretz, it was flour, then he made it into dough. Then he could go ahead and separate what's necessary of the chala from the dough to give to the kohen. Umanicha bekfish oivanchus, and we said he puts it into these types of worn out leather flasks, these types of receptacles. Ukushaba Amma Oretz litel, and when the Amma Oretz comes to take his stuff back, noitel eshtein beinachesh, we said he takes back both of them, meaning he takes back his own dough, and he takes back the chala that was separated to give to the kohen. And the gavel, the kneader, doesn't have to be concerned that he's creating a problem over here because the Amma Oretz might come to touch it. And then when he gives it to the kohen who's relying that the challah was done in Tara from this chaver gavel, we don't have to be concerned for that. Which the Gemara asks, why? We know that we were more lenient because of kedei chayiv, but v'leichesh demonoga, but we have to be concerned that maybe he did touch it afterwards. And if he touched it, this is a real problem for the kohen because he's going to be eating challah tamei, which is forbidden. So the Gemara says, because damrin lei. We tell the Amma Oretz, and this is to intimidate him, Chazi, you should see, Inagisba, if you will be touching this challah and you're going to make it tummy, because you're Amma Oretz, Hadra Litivla, it's going to go back to its untithed, as if the challah was never separated from your dough. Now, as Rashi points out, the Amma Oretz is not suspect to eat his dough now, he's going to lose his whole dough, because we're telling him that if he's metama the challah, thus making it like not good separated challah. So now the dough is back to tevel again, which is a chiyuv misa, a death penalty for eating tevel. So we tell him that, and therefore that's going to prevent him from touching the challah dough for making that tummy. Now the Gemara asks, but v'leichesh demaleich b'slei, but let's be concerned that maybe he doesn't care about that. Oh, what are you telling me? And he's going to touch it anyway. You're telling me it's going to become tevel. So maybe we should be concerned about that too. How do we rely on our intimidation tactics that he's not going to go ahead and touch it? So the Gemara says, no. If this Amma Oretz is intending to make it not tevel, what's he doing? He came to the chaver gavel and he said, do me a favor. I want you to knead my dough and to take off the challah. So michbes lo ichbes lo, you tell me he's not going to cure? Of course he cures. He's obviously concerned about tevel, or else he wouldn't have told him to fix it. So he's telling him to fix it. So that's something that he is concerned with. So if we're going to tell him that if he's going to touch the challah, it's going to come back to tevel, so he's not going to come to touch it because he obviously does care about tevel because that's what he's telling the gavel chaver in the first place to do. And that's why, again, together with the leniency of Kedei Chayev, we're not really concerned that he's going to touch it, because we tell him if he does, he's going to ruin it for himself, which is something that he is concerned about. Now, moreover, Amamah, we said in the Braisa, Noitel Hamene Kedei Truma. So we said what the Chaver does is that he takes off the amount of Truma from the olives that's coming to him as a presser. Umanicha Bekeli Yishol Chaver, he puts it into his own, the receptacle of the Talmud Chacham, him, the presser's own utensils, which is not tummy, which is tahar. Ukeshaba amaretz litol, and when the amaretz comes to take it, noit l'ashtem v'nechayshi takes both his olives, which were pressed by the presser, and the truma that he asked him, you know, you're a Talmudic scholar, you know how much I have to give to the kain, took off truma from him, put into another receptacle, which is from the chavur, so it's remaining tahar, and the presser, the bada doesn't have to be concerned that then later the amaretz is going to be metame that truma before it heads to the kain. The Gemara asks why. Let's be concerned that maybe he's going to touch that olives before it heads to the kain, as the Gemara explains. Because bishle mahasam, it's very good what you had answered regarding the first case of challah, because there isle hekera. There's a simon, there's a sign, there's some type of recognition, as we explain the cases where he puts into utensils which are not usually used to store dough. As we said, there are these types of worn-out leather flasks. So he'll remember what they had told him. They said, oh my, if I touch it, first of all, he's recognizing, what is this? Why isn't this a utensil? Oh, and then he remembers, oh, they said if I touch this, oh, forget it, it's going to become back table again. He's not going to touch it. Fine. But hacha mahe kera isle, but here, what type of a sign? You said you're just putting into the utensils of the Talmud Chacham. What type of a sign is it that he should remember? They touch a lot, as we said, the Amoritz. He's not concerned with what he's touching. And he's going to touch the Truman before he heads to the Kain, because what's going to prevent him? What's going to remind him that there's a problem about touching it? So the Gemara answers, we're talking about where that it was put into a certain type of utensils. They were put into vessels made out of dung, or stone, or earth, where those are the type of utensils that do not contract tuma, which is an important feature over here because the Am Arts is going to be touching it. Now, moreover, since when he's touching the kli, it's not going to be kabbal tuma, the olives also, we're not concerned that he's going to end up going inside and touching the olives, because there also is, like the previous case, there is a hacker, there is a sign. Because these utensils, an Am Aretz is not accustomed to using them. Only really chaverim, things that people that are concerned about tahara, they'll use kelim that are not makabel tuma. Am Aretz is not concerned. Why should he use a vessel made out of dung or out of earth? Now, moreover, Rashi points out, so the only concern would be about touch, because in Am Aretz, the rabbis were not so stringent to give him a status as like what's called a zav gomer. A non-Jew could have that status, but a Jew, even though Am Aretz, we don't give him a status like a zav who, yeah, zav would be matama even by just carrying the item, tumas masa, which would be a problem even by klei avonim, klei galalim, klei adama. Am Aretz only were concerned we give him a tuma of mag of touching. So the vessel is no problem because not makabel tuma. And neither about is he going to go inside and touch it, because again, he will remember, he will recognize that there's a difference because what's this? A vessel made out of earth? Why do I have this? Oh, they told me that this is the truma. I'm not allowed to touch this. And again, that's, you know, they said if he does, then it's going to make everything back to tevel again. So therefore, he's not going to end up touching it again, just like the case of chal. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, the way you just described it, so my iri the chaver. If it's toma klei glom, klei avon, klei adama, then why does it say specifically, as the Brice had said, that the chaver, the Talmud Chacham, that's the one who presses the olives, has to put it into his own vessels. I felt Am Aretz Nami. Then he could even put it into the Am Aretz's own vessels because the Tumah vessels are not Makabel Tumah. And they're also a unique type of vessel which he's not going to end up going inside because he'll realize, hey, why do I have this vessel? But why does it have to be the Chaber's own vessels, his own utensils? So the Gemara says, no, Hachinamakam, you're right. This is what the Brice was saying. Bekelim Shalam Aretz. It could be in the utensils of the Am Aretz's own, which are not makabel tuma, haruuyin lehishtamish ben chaver, that would be fit for the chaver himself to have as his own utensils. What type of utensils of Am Aretz is fit for a chaver? It's something that's not makabel tuma, which then he could have it also, which are klei glom, klei avon, klei adama. And therefore, that's how the Gemara explains the question. You're right. There definitely is a concern, as we had established on the previous daf of Amaoritz, touching things that are tahar. So therefore, it's going to be problematic for the schalot that's going to the kohen or for the truma that's going to the kohen. But it's not going to touch it. A, first of all, because the kli itself is not makabel tuma, and moreover, it's an interesting type of a kli, which will remind him, hey, this is interesting. Oh, they said that I can't touch this. If I do, it's going to make everything go back to the status of tevel, which he is concerned about, because or else he wouldn't have asked for it in the first place. And there's a chiyuv misa. That's why there's no concern, again, together with the factor that it's kedei chayiv for the gavel and for the badad, to go ahead and process this for the Amaoritz, and he's not going to end up touching it before heads to the kohen. Now the Gemara continues is explaining our previous Mishnah that said Machzikini de Akum b'shvias, that we can assist a non-Jew who's working the land in the Shemitah year. Now the Gemara wonders, Machzikini, could we really support him and assist him? But V'omer Rav Dimi Bar Shishna Mishmei de Rav, he says Ein oidjinima Akum b'shvias, one is not allowed to hoe, to dig, to plow together with a non-Jew in the Shemitah year, because you're working the land, even though it's not your own land, but you can't even assist a non-Jew. And the inkaiflin shalom lo'evik achavim. One cannot double when he gives greetings to a non-Jew, because as we mentioned in our Mishnah, the whole reason why you're allowed to say shalom to a non-Jew is only because what's called darkei shalom, because the non-Jews are going to be, what's the Jews doing over here? How come he says shalom to all these people and not to me? Now, for darkei shalom, it's enough to say one time. But you're not allowed to repeat it two times. Oh, shalom, that you can, because that's saying Hashem's name more than what's necessary for darkei shalom. But the difficulty is, how could a Mishnah say that you could be machzik de akum b'shvias when the halacha that was mentioned is clearly that you cannot assist him in the work that he's doing on Shemitah? So the Gemara says, loy tzricha, no. You're right, of course you can't work the land even in assisting a non-Jew in Shemitah here. What our Mishnah was saying was, lememr lehu achzuku ba'alma, just to tell him words of encouragement and support. Ki had Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda did, amalehu achzuku. He would tell them, you know, like someone that passes, someone that's doing work, he says, ah, you know, keep up the good job. We're actually, the word like our Mishnah uses of being machzik is like some people say chazak o baruch. You say chazak, you're giving him support. That's what the Mishnah says, that you could give him some moral support, some oral engagement, but not obviously work in the land itself. Now, Rav Shesher, someone who is similar, Rav Shesher would tell them ashrasa, which that's also a word of support, which is like the other word that people say, oh, yasher kayach, which comes from yasher kachacha, which is the word isher, means to say your strength, to be strengthened. That's, again, that's what you could do, but obviously you cannot work the land itself. Now, we also said, v'ein kayflin shalom lo'evik achav, but although you could greet him with saying shalom, but you can't double it. So therefore, the Gemara actually tells us that Rav Chisda makdim v'yohav l'hu shalom. He actually would beat the non-Jew and say first shalom, because it seems like that sometimes the custom was that the one who would respond would say, oh, shalom, and therefore you don't want to repeat it. So to avoid that, he would say first shalom. Rav Kahana, what he would do is, he would say, Shlomo Lamar, peace to the master. Now, as Rashi tells us, he didn't intend to bless the non-Jew. Rather, his thoughts and his intentions were for his master, meaning for Hashem. So although he said Shlomo Lamar, but he was able to avoid the problem by really having in mind Hashem all the while facing the non-Jew. Now, the Mishnah told us, B'shoyel and B'shleimah, that you could inquire, you could say Shalom to a non-Jew, again, because of darkei shalom. Now, the Gemara wonders, what's the necessity of saying this halacha? If hashtach zog mechaskinon, if the halacha that was just before that in the Mishnah, which again, as we just explained, that one can actively go ahead and support a non-Jew in something forbidden for a Jew, which is to work the land on Shemitah, he could tell him words of support. So, shoylin b'shleimam. So, the rest of the year, just to say how he's doing, Mibaya, do you need to say that? Meaning, shalom is something a Jew could say. So if you could say words that really are forbidden for the for a Jew to do, you could say to a non-Jew, so things that are permitted, like saying shalom, what would be the hava? I mean, why would you think that you cannot tell that to a non-Jew? So Amar Rav Yeva, he says, Loi nitzucha elu yom edem. The necessity of this chiddush was to tell us that when it's their holiday, for their idols. And we're not concerned that if we're going to say shalom, they're going to say, oh, wow, you know, the Jewish person even likes me and he's going to go to his deity, to his God, and he's going to praise and it's going to cause, obviously, desecration of Hashem's name because he's going to be praising his own idol. So that's the chiddush I was saying, that no, that's not a concern. The time like we learned the Braisa, actually, this halacha that tells us, Le'kanes odem lebeisei shel oyed kechavim b'yoyim edoy v'yitin le'shalom. A Jewish person is not allowed to enter into a non-Jewish person's house on their holiday and give him greetings, giving him, you know, season greetings, telling him peace onto you. Now, the reason being is because since he's obviously showing him so much respect, he's coming to his house, maybe he's going to go to his idol and say, oh, wow, look how great you are. Look what the Jewish people are honoring me. So that you're not allowed to do. But like the halacha of our Mishnah, v'metzoy b'shuk, if he finds him out in the street, then nice and like, then you could say shalom, even on this holiday, b'safa rafa, with a very low voice, u'b'kavid roish, and with a heaviness, meaning not like, oh, how you doing, because then he's going to feel good, and he might come to praise his other gods. But that type of response, oh, hello, that you could do, and that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, because of Darkei Shalom, even though it's b'yom edim, even if it's on their holiday. Now the Gemara relates this to about saying shalom to someone else. So the Gemara brings the following incident: Rav Huna Rav Chizda Hava Yasvi. Rav Huna Rav Chizda was sitting. Chalav Azla Geniva, and Geniva passed them by. So Amalei Chad L'Chavri, one of these two, either Rav Huna Rav Chizda, said to the other one, Nekim Mekame, let's stand up, because he's passing by. Deba Uriyanhu, because he's a Ben Taira, he's a Talmud Chacham. So Amalei, so the other one said to the one who said that, Umekme Palgo Nekim, and in front of someone that starts fights, I should stand up. Because he's someone that creates disputes on the sages. As the Gemara tells us in the first paragraph of Zayin Amud Aleph, he would pain Mar Ukva, who was the Av Bezdin. So for such a person, I should stand up. The Gemara tells us, Adahachi, Asa Iulagabayu. In the meantime, Geniva had come to them. So Amalahu, he said to them, Shlama Alaychu Malki, peace unto you, kings. Shlama Alaychu Malki, peace unto you, the kings. So Amalei, they said to him, Menolach Rabban Ikr Malachim, where do you know that rabbis are considered as kings, that you're giving us the honorific as kings? Amalei said to them, Dechsilik, says the Pasuk in Mishlei. Says, the Torah says, be through me, Malachim Yimloichu B'Goyim, will kings be reigned? So we see that the Torah is saying that those who learn the Torah are like kings, which are the Rabbanan. So Amalei, they said to him, okay, but Umenolach Dekaflin Neshama L'Malki, how do you know, as you did, that you repeat the greetings you give to a king? So Amalahu, he said to them, "The Amr Rabbi Marav, like Rida said in the name of Rav, Minayin Shekleflin Shalom Lamelech. From where do we know that we double the greetings when it comes to a king? Shnei like it says the pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph, says Verduach Lavsha Es Amasai, that there was a spirit that clothed Amasai, who was Roishash Halishim, the head of all the rulers, and the pasuk there continues V'goyim etc. That Lecha David, for you David, Ve'imcha Ben Yishai, and those who are with you, the son of Yishai, Shalom Shalom Lach. Peace, peace be unto you. You see that there was a repetition for a king of David in the shalom that was given to him. So Amarli, they said to him, let the master, let Geniva eat something. So Amalahu, he said to them, no, because Hachi Amar B'Yud Merab said to them a different halacha from B'Yud name of Rav. Asla la'adim shi'yitim klum, it's forbidden for a person to taste anything, at shi'yitim ma'chalim ahemte, until he gives food to his animal. Shnamak, it says the pasuk in Devarim, b'nasati esev b'sadchil v'mtecha, that I will give grass in your fields for your animals. And Vahadu, only after that does it say Vachalta Vesavati, that you will eat and you'll be satiated. So obviously it seems like Geneva had animals that he didn't feed yet. So he said, I can't eat yet because you first have to feed your animals and only then can you eat. Hanulach Hanizakim, we shall return to you, the fifth paragraph Mesechtas Gittin and Perek Hanizakim. With that we continue on to Amud Beis, where we begin the sixth paragraph Mesechtas Gittin, Perek Ha'imer. With this Perek continues much of the theme of this Mesechta, talking about the halacha of Ashlich Lahilacha, about when the husband sends an agent to deliver the get to his wife, and the shlich like a balu, and the wife appoints an agent to receive the get from her husband, and regarding later on the parak regarding the halachas of the writing and the appointing of those to write and deliver a get to the wife. So the Mishnah tells us, ha'imer hiskabel get zel ishti. If a man says to an agent, to a shliach, receive this get from my wife, or he tells him, oi hoilich get zel ishti, or go ahead and take this get to my wife. So says the Mishnah, Im Ratzif, the Baal wants to lachzer, to retract, before it gets to the woman. So let's say it takes 2 days to get there, and after a day he changes his mind, he has a change of heart, and he chases after him, and he reaches him. The halacha is yachzer, he could retract. Now the reason for this is because a get, a divorce document for a woman, is considered a chayb, it's a liability for her. She's better off being married. Now therefore the halacha is, in chavon la'adam elamidaita, you cannot create a liability for a person without their consent, without their awareness, to make a shliach for them that's going to create a liability. So therefore, this shliach is only a shliach le'alach. It's an extension of the husband until it gets to the woman. It's not a divorce. If he was an agent for her, then the moment he gets it, as the Mishnah will tell us right now, then she's already automatically divorced. But he cannot make a shliach for Kabbalah for her. he could only make, because that would be a liability, he could make only shliach for himself to do what he would do, which is to deliver it to, and that would only happen when she gets it. Up until then, he could retract. Whereas, as the Mishnah tells us, ha'isha sha'amri iskabali giti, but if a woman tells to a shliach, receive my get from my husband, meaning she sends him 2 days distance, let's say, to go to his house, because he has a get, he's just not going to come to her, so she sends her agent to get it from him, in such a case, if the husband wants to retract, let's say when the shliach is 1 day into coming back to the woman, he wants to retract, he cannot retract. Because the reason is, since she made him the shliach, so he is like her hand, and she gets divorced immediately the moment that the shliach receives it in his hand. It's like shliach shalom kamaisai, where in this case it's kamaisai, like as if she already got it in her hand. Now, fikach, therefore, says the Mishnah, since we said that in such a case where she made a shliach likabola, when once her shliach gets it, he can't retract. So there's no way for him to have to keep that option of retracting, only if im amar lo habal, if the husband tells to this shliach who his wife had made as a shliach to receive as a shliach likabala, if he tells him no, I don't want that you should be like an extension of her hand that you should receive the get for her. Ella rather, what I am agreeing to is hoylich vitenla. Is take this and bring it to her. In other words, I want you to be my shliach to go bring it to her. But you to be her shliach, that I'm not agreeing to. In such a case, says the Mishnah, Imratzalachza, then if he wants to retract, as long as the get didn't get to her hand, then Yachza, then he can retract, because then, yes, she's not going to be divorced. The only way the divorce happens is with the intentionality of the Megarish, of the one who's divorcing her. Now, he said, I'm not making this again until it gets to her hand. So though you might have made him a shliach likabalah, that those terms I'm not agreeing to. And he gets to decide that. And since he decided I'm only making him a shliach lehalacha, that's what it's going to be, and therefore he could retract until it gets to her hand back in her house, wherever she is. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel, I mean, he says another addendum to this Mishnah, that afhoi meres, not just when the woman says that be mekabel the get for me for my husband, but even if she says toli giti, take this get for me, as Rashi explains, that's also a term of kabbalah, of receiving it, and therefore they're also imrotz alach zol yachza. If the husband wants to retract, he can't retract because this woman already made this shliach a shliach likabbalah, even though she said the terms of not accepting but take. That's the same idea. It means to receive it from him, and she's already divorced the moment the shliach got a hold of it, and that's why he can't retract. Now the Gemara discusses regarding the second case of the Mishnah, which was when the husband tells to the shliach, I want you to be hoylich getzel ishti, take this get from my wife. Now, so the Mishnah said, as long as it didn't get to her yet, he could be chayzer, he could retract. Now, regarding that case, omeli Rav Acha berid Rav Avi le Rav Ashi, he said to Rav Ashi as follows, he says, taima, as we'll explain shortly, it sounds like that the reason for this halacha is, delay shavise ihi shlich likabola, because she didn't additionally make this same shliach that the husband's making, a shlich lehalacha, who he said, be hoylich getzel ishti, is because the reason why you could retract in such a case is because the woman didn't additionally, before that, make that same person a shlich likabala. Now, how do we know that that's the case of the Mishnah, that she didn't make him into shlich likabala? Is because, as Rashi explains, there's two cases in the Reisha. One's the case of a skabel, where the husband tells to the shlich, receive this get from my wife. And the other one is where he says, take this get from my wife, which is the case that we're discussing of hoylich. Now, regarding the case of Hiskabel, the husband obviously can't really make him into shliach lekabala. He only has the ability, as we said, because that's creating a liability, and he cannot create a liability for her that she should really be divorced before it gets to her. So all he could do is make him a shliach lehalacha. Now, the problem is, if the case was talking about that the woman had already made the shliach as a shliach lekabala, then actually when the husband would say Hiskabel getzel ishti, then there wouldn't be a chayv, because she already agreed to that. She actually made him already a shliach lekabala. Then in the case of Hiskabel, she actually would be divorced right away, and then the halacha of the Mishnah wouldn't be correct. Then the Mratzalachzer, the husband actually would not be able to be chayzer. So obviously, from the case of Hiskabel, we see that if she's not being divorced until she gets it, and that's what he could retract, must be that she did not already make him into shliach lekabala. She didn't yet say Hiskabel to him. So therefore, the parallel case of Hoylich Getzel Ishti is also talking about where she didn't make him additionally as a shliach lekabala. So it sounds like in such a case is where the husband could retract until it gets to her hand. But the inference is, Hashavise ihi shliach lekabala, but let's say she had already made this same guy, who the husband is telling him Hoylich Getzel Ishti, beforehand, she had already told him, I want you to be the shlich l'kabbalah for me. And then he says, Heilach getzeli ishti. Sounds like the halacha would be, Ratzel lachzer lo yachzer. That in that type of a case, that if the husband wanted to retract, that he wouldn't be able to retract. Why? Because she made him a shlich l'kabbalah. Now, when he says, Heilach getzeli ishti, he's not uprooting her shlichus. Now, in the Mishnah, we said he could. We pointed that out from the halacha, where he says, like, efshi, I don't want you to be shlich l'kabbalah. He has that right. But it sounds like, from the inference of the Mishnah, that it's only because in the case of Heilach Getzeli Ishti, where she did not make him a shlich l'kabbalah. But if she did, sounds like he wouldn't be able to retract. Why wouldn't he be able to retract? Because the moment the shlich gets it, he's already a shlich l'kabbalah for her. Which means to say that although he said Heilach Getzeli Ishti, take, he didn't say receive it, still, obviously, that's not uprooting her shlichus. Why? Shema Mano, the Gemara said, you could infer from this that Heilach, when a person tells his agent, take, it's kizachi domi, it's like saying, merit it for the woman. Now, you're right, when she doesn't make him into a shlich l'kabbalah, it's not a schus, it's a chayv. So then, yes, like the halacha of the Mishnah was, in rotz alach yasa, because it's not going to be again until it gets to her hand. But when she did make him a shlich l'kabbalah, then it is a schus, because she wants that. She wants to be divorced the moment the shlich gets it. And it sounds like when he's saying, although he's saying haylich, he's not saying receive it, he's saying take it. Sounds like that will be the same qualitatively as saying as merited. Now the significance of that diik is that this is actually machloek is brought in the first parak on the Vidal Manalf, if we say haylich keschi or not. So the Gemara says seemingly we should say from our Mishnah that haylich is kezachi dami, because if it wasn't kezachi dami, then the halacha of the inference that we just said wouldn't be correct. So the Gemara says loy, no, not necessarily. Loyim emelach haylich lav kezachi dami. Truthfully, I could tell you that when a person tells their shliach, take, it's not saying merit it. Taking is taking, which means to say, I want you to be a shliach le'alacha, not a shliach le'kabbalah. And it's not as if you're meriting for what she had wanted. So therefore, that what the Gemara is saying is that even if she had made him a shliach le'kabbalah beforehand, and he says haylich, he would be uprooting her shliach. No, I'm telling you haylich, not be zoicha for her, not receive it. I'm making you a shliach le'alacha. Now, so then the question is, which was what the Gemara was pointing out from, so then why was the Mishnah talking about a case, as we were medayik, that she didn't make him before in the shliach l'kabbalah, which that would be the bigger chiddush, if you're saying that actually haylich is not kizachi dami and it would be uprooting her shliach l'kabbalah, then say the bigger chiddush, why are we talking about only a case where she did not make him a shliach l'kabbalah before, and again, as we were medayik from the case of his kabbal, when the husband says his kabbal, so and that is what the Gemara says. Actually, the reason why we didn't say a case of when she made him before in the shlich l'kabbalah was for the other case. You're right, for haylach would be even if she made him a shlich l'kabbalah. But it's necessary for the first case of the Mishnah, where v'hiskabal get l'ishti istuchaleh. It's that case that we needed to say when he tells the shlich, I want you to receive this get from my wife, where even though she did not make him a shlich l'kabbalah, and again, that's why we're saying it, that's the inherent chiddush in this case, where if she didn't make him a shlich to be a shlich l'kabbalah, and he's saying these words, be mekabel to get for my wife, the salgad ayat chamin, I would have thought to say in the first case of the Mishnah, haylo ba'al lav bar shavili shlich l'kabbalah, who as we pointed out before, the husband cannot make a shlich as a shlich l'kabbalah to receive it for his wife, because as we said, that's a liability. You can't create a shlich for a woman's liability without her consent. Only thing he could do is create a shlich l'alacha. Now the thing is, he didn't say haylich getzel ishti. He said b'makabel. So why would have thought to say that avagav demota gita liyoda, that even when it actually does finally reach her hand, loyla have a gita, it shouldn't even be a get when she receives it, because this shlich has no authority to do that. Because he didn't make him a shlich l'alacha, because he didn't say haylich getzel ishti, and neither could he make him a shlich l'kabbalah, because a husband has no rights and authority to make him a shlich l'kabbalah. So that's the chiddush in that case. We had to say when it's told about when she did not make him a shlich l'kabbalah, because again, if she did, then of course it would be a divorce right away when the shlich gets it. The chiddush is that even though she didn't make a shlich l'kabbalah, and he has no rights to make a shlich l'kabbalah, and he did, and that's what he said. Those are the words he said his kabbal, kamash malon. That's the chiddush, that although the words he said to the shlich was his kabbal gets al ishti, the his kabbal v'haylich kama. What he really was saying was receive it and take it, because a person knows that he can't make a shlich l'kabbalah. And therefore, that's the chiddush of why we had to talk about a case of when the shliach was not previously made a shliach l'kabbalah from the woman. Now, once we spoke about a case of hiskabel, so too we spoke about a case of hoylach getzel ishti, because that's exactly what the Mishnah is saying, which is whether if the husband used the terminology of kabbalah or whether he used the terminology of hilacha, Either way, as we just explained, it's going to really be making him a shlich le'alacha because he knows he can't make a shlich like a bal, and therefore there's no raya. Essentially, we could say that even if the woman had made this shlich a shlich le'kabala before the husband had said ha'ilich getzele ishti, that still that would be uprooting because ha'ilich, we could say, is lav kazach adami, would not be meriting it, and it would not be a shlich until she gets it. It wouldn't be a shlich le'kabala. If he wanted it in that case, he also would be chayzer. And the only reason why we didn't say that case was because of the case of a skabel. But the Gemara continues to ask regarding this machlekes of ha'ilich kezachi dami or not. Now, within our Mishnah, ha'isha sha'amr hiskabeli giti. If the woman says to an agent, I want you to receive my get for me. So the halacha is, if the husband wants to retract, he can't retract because the moment the shliach gets it, the shliach is an extension of the woman who had made him a shliach, and then he can't retract. So says the Gemara, my lav, isn't it talking about that this case of when the woman makes the shlich lekabbalah that he can't retract is going back on the previous case of the Mishnah, which were these two halachas of loishna akabbalah, that no, it doesn't make a difference if the husband had said to the shliach, his kabbal gets elishti, loishna ahailocha, and no difference if the husband had said to the shliach, I want you to be meilich gets elishti, that what the Mishnah then is continuing to say, that if she had previously made the shliach that the husband's making either with the words of Eskabel Getzelishti or Heilig Getzelishti, if she had originally made him a Shliach LeKabbalah, that he cannot retract. So what you could infer from there is, obviously, is that Heilig is Kezachi Dami. Because if the halacha that he can't retract when she makes him previously, prior as a Shliach LeKabbalah, seemingly going on both cases, even when he says Heilig Getzelishti, why can't he retract? Isn't he saying Heilig and not Mimakabel? No, obviously Heilig is Kezachi Dami. So the Gemara says, no, it's not necessarily. You could say that it's going back a Kabbalah. You could say that even if you're saying that the case of the woman making a shliach, which we'll see later on, maybe it's not even going back on the first case of the Mishnah, but even if it is, could be it's only going back on the case of when he said to the shliach, his kabbal gets a lishti, where then he's acquiescing to when she had made it a shliach the Kabbalah, and he's saying, you know what, do that, be mekabalit for my wife, that's where we're going to say he can't retract. But when he says hailech, maybe even if she had previously made him a shliach the Kabbalah, still hailech is lav kezach adami, and that he would be able to retract. So the Gemara continues, Tashma, trying to bring a raya from a Mishnah from the Sefer. The Mishnah then said that the next case was that since if she makes him a shlich lekabbalah, he can't retract, because the moment the shlich gets it, she's divorced. Lafikach, therefore, im omar lo habal, the only way that he would be able to is if the husband tells to that shlich lekabbalah, if she should degabbalah, I don't want you to be a shlich lekabbalah. Ella hoylich v'tenla, rather I want you to go ahead and take it and give it to her. I want you to be my shlich le'alacha, not her shlich le'kabbalah. Then the Mutzalach Ziyasa, that's what Mishnah says. So in that case, if he wants to retract, he could, because he uprooted her shlich le'kabbalah and made him into shlich le'alacha. And it goes by his terms. So says the Gemara, time of the Amr Iyafshi, it sounds like only because he said, I don't want you to be shlich le'kabbalah. Holoi Amr Iyafshi, but if he didn't say that, I don't want you, sounds like that if he wants to retract, he cannot retract even though he's saying heilich. As long as he doesn't say iyashi, as long as she made him a shlich lekabal and then he says heilich, sounds like he can't retract. That seemingly proves that although he's saying heilich, it's like saying merit it. And since she wants it, so it's a merit, and therefore he cannot retract. Heilich kezachi dami. So the Gemara says, no, Dilma, maybe this case of the Sefer, that actually the reading should not be heilich, that take and give it to, rather behelach. Rather it should be heilach and give it to, where the word heilach actually has a different connotation than heilach, where there for sure it sounds like the word heilach is like heishalach, like this is yours, meaning do as she told you. That's why if he didn't say efshi, then it would be that he would be agreeing to her that she should be a shlich lekabbalah. And maybe in that case you need to say efshi, but actually if he would have said heilach, not heilach, then actually you don't need to say efshi, because we could say heilach is lav kezach adami, and therefore the Gemara does not prove this machlekes on Daf Yedalet from our Mishnah. It could be either one. It could be heilach kezach adami or heilach lav kezach adami. Now the Gemara continues with related to this discussion about making a shlich le'alacha and a shlich le'kabbalah. So the Gemara tells us, pshita, it's obvious that an ish, a male, have a shlich le'alacha, that he could become a messenger, an agent from the husband to deliver the get. Now the reason being is because since the halacha of shlichus is learned out from Beshilcha, so it's obvious that a male is included in the halacha of being a shliach to deliver. Why? Shekein baal meilich get le'ishtei, because the husband, he could deliver a get to his wife, and actually it's incumbent upon him to bring it to his wife. Now, something that he himself is kosher, so his shliach, a shliach shel adam kemaisa, will have the same authority that he has. So since a male is the one that brings the get to his wife, so the halachas of shlichas, which are included, is obviously going to include someone just like him, which is a male. So to the isha, a different woman, it's obvious to us that havi shliach, that she could be an agent for her friend, the kabbalah, to receive the get from the husband. Because, again, since we learned out that there's a halach of shlichas for receiving the get, as it's learned of v'shilcha mibesoi, where the Gemara learns out not that as the literal translation of that pasuk, which is that she sent away from the house when she gets divorced, but rather v'shilcha that she sends to go ahead and receive the get. So it's obvious that a woman could be a shlich l'kabbalah, because shekein isha, because the woman herself is mekabelas gita miyad baila. She could receive the get from her husband, so her shliach could be just like her. So a woman shliach could be l'kabbalah, a man shliach could be l'alacha. But what the Gemara wants to know is what's with the halacha if it's the opposite way. Ish l'kabbalah, regarding a man being a shliach to receive the get, v'ish l'halacha, and a woman to be a shliach to bring the get, my, what's the halacha over there? Do we say that since that person himself, let's say the male, is not fit to receive a get, because he's not a female, so therefore other males also cannot receive the get? Or do we say that no, that he could? And so to regarding the shliach l'halacha of a woman, just like the woman herself is not the one who brings the get to herself, it's the man who brings it to her. So therefore, just like she cannot be l'halacha, maybe another woman also cannot be a shliach l'halacha to bring it to that woman. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ha'imer hiskabel get zeh l'ishti. The Mishnah opened up by saying, Ha'imer, if someone tells the shliach to receive this get from my wife, Oy hoylich get zeh l'ishti, or bring this get to my wife, take it to my wife, as we said, that if he wants to retract, he can retract because it's a shliach l'halacha. Then the Mishnah continued and said, Ha'imer, ha'isha sh'amr iskabel giti. If the woman says, receive my get from me, if the husband wants to retract, then he cannot retract. Says the Gemara, my lav b'chad shliach, isn't it talking about the same guy, one agent? In other words, whether if the husband said to the shliach, ha'ilach get zeh l'ishti, or whether if he says to the shliach, hiskabel get zeh l'ishti, the halacha is that it's going to be a shliach l'halacha. That's what the Mishnah opened up with. Then the Mishnah is saying, but if she already had said beforehand to that person, hiskabel get zeh l'ishti, then he's going to be a shliach l'kabbalah. So obviously we see that that same agent who's fit to be a shliach l'halacha for the husband is also the same type of agent that's fit to be a shliach l'kabbalah for the woman. So similarly, that answers the question, v'shma minah kasha l'kabbalah, kasha l'halacha. Obviously, the same type of agent that's able to receive the get for the woman, which is the woman, it's fit to go ahead and bring the get for the woman, because we're talking about the same one. When he's only sending him, then he can retract. But if the woman had already made him a shliach l'kabbalah, then he cannot retract. So the Gemara says, loy, v'shnei shluchin, as we had alluded to this answer before, we're actually talking about two different people, two different agents. And what the Mishnah is saying is, if a man tells to another man, whether a terminology of viskabel get zeh l'ishti or hoylich get zeh l'ishti, as we explained before, that's a terminology of being hoylich, of taking it, because he knows he can't make a shliach l'kabbalah. Then the Mishnah says a different halacha, a woman that tells to her friend, to another woman, hiskabel get zeh l'ishti, then that's what the Mishnah is saying, that if the husband wants to retract, he cannot retract if he gives it to that woman, but it's not going back on the shliach of the reisha. It's not necessarily saying that the one who could be shliach for Kabbalah could be the same shliach l'halacha, because maybe we could say that only a woman can be shliach l'Kabbalah and only a man can be shliach l'halacha. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya from our Mishnah. Toshima, come in here from the other case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, lefikach, therefore, since if the woman makes him a shliach l'Kabbalah, the husband cannot retract. The only way that he could retract is, im amar lo habal, if the husband preempts the shliach l'Kabbalah of the woman, and he says to him, no, if she should the Kabbalah, I don't want you to be shliach l'Kabbalah for her, rather take and give it to her, then the Mishnah said if he wants to retract, he could, because he preempted him, he made him out, what's called ois, no more shliach l'kabbalah, he made him a shliach l'halacha. Now, and that says the Gemara, here obviously we're talking about that it's one agent, because as the Mishnah is explaining, the husband is telling that person who the woman had already said to him, his kabbal, and that is what the husband's telling to that shliach, no, I don't want you to be shliach l'kabbalah, I want you to be shliach l'halacha. So he could do that. But b'shma minah, what we infer from that is that kosher lekabbalah, whoever the shliach was, it was obviously fit to be shliach lekabbalah, is kosher leilacha, could be a shliach leilacha. So the Gemara says, you're right. Pashid mina, we obviously could resolve from that part of the Mishnah one of the two questions that we had asked. In other words, which one could we resolve? We could say that the Mishnah is talking about a man. That you're right, a man could also be a shliach lekabbalah, and that's where the husband says, no, I don't want you to be a shliach lekabbalah, I want you to be a shliach leilacha. Now, that is ishav a shliach lekabbalah, that's the one thing we could infer from that part of the Mishnah as a raya. Now, that makes sense, it's logical why a man would be able to be a shliach lekabbalah, because we actually find elsewhere that a man is a shliach for kabbalah for a get. Where do we find this? Shekin av mekabel get lebita ketana. A father has the rights, and he could receive the get for his minor daughter, where the Torah actually gives the rights to the father to receive her kiddushin when she's getting married. As the Gemara learns in Ksubas Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis from the pasuk biyatsa chinam en kasef. Now, so too that gives him the rights to receive her get, because the pasuk actually equates kiddushin to gerushin, as it says biyatsa b'hayis l'ish, that she goes out from this husband and then she goes and gets married to that other husband. So since we compare the two, so therefore, just like he's fit to receive the kiddushin, he's also able to receive the get. So that would make sense why also he would be able to receive the get in another context as a shliach l'kabbalah. But what the question is, isha l'halacha tabay l'achmai. But you're still left with the question, what would be the halacha? Could a woman be a shliach l'halacha? That you have no raya. Maybe the case in the Mishnah, which is talking about the same person, was a man. And it makes sense to say why a man could be a shliach l'kabbalah, because we have such a precedent. But who said that a woman could be a shliach l'halacha? So Amrav Mori, Mori says, Toshma, come in here, we'll bring a raya from a Mishnah chav gimel mabez. The Mishnah says, Af hanoshim she'ein namonis leima meizbala, even the women, which is referring to a woman's mother-in-law, or her mother-in-law's daughter, or her co-wife, or her brother-in-law's wife, or her husband's daughter, her stepdaughter. So even these women, who generally are not believed to say to this woman that your husband died, because they want to cause problems for her, they don't like her, still the Mishnah said over there, namonis lehebius gita. They are believed, they're trustworthy, they're allowed to go ahead and bring the woman's get from the husband overseas to bring it to the woman. Says the Gemara, v'hasam halachi. That's to make a case of the woman being shlichei, shluchei l'halacha, because that's what the words say. It says that they could be lehevi eskita, they could bring it. So therefore that's a raya that even a woman could be a shliach l'halacha. Now actually, Amar Bashi, he says, m'sifa namish mamin. He says actually from the end of that Mishnah over there, you could also infer the same raya, same proof. Because the Ketani say, for the end of that Mishnah said over there, ha'isha atzma mevi eskita. The woman herself, who's getting divorced, she could also be, quote, a shliach l'halacha, she could also bring her own get. As long as she also says, as we require from any shliach coming from overseas to Eretz Yisrael, to say, in front of me was written, in front of me was signed. Now, says the Gemara, we establish already in the second parak that it's talking about where the woman is a shliach l'halacha, she's delivering her own get to herself. Why? From the fact that the Mishnah said that she has to say b'fanei nechdav, the question was, what do you mean? Why does she have to say b'fanei nechdav? The moment she receives the get from her husband overseas, before she gets back home to Eretz Yisrael, she's already divorced, because it was already b'nasa b'yada. So the Gemara there explained and said that it's talking about where the husband told her, I want you to be a shleich le'locha until you come to Eretz Yisrael. So that was the case, and that's why she has to say b'fanei nechdav, like any shleich le'locha, even though she's giving it to herself. So you see from there, Shema Minos says the Gemara that a woman could be a shliach l'halacha, again, both from the Risha and the Seifa over there, one is from all these other women, and even from the Seifa there, where the woman herself is bringing it to herself, she in that context is being a shliach l'halacha, so you see that a woman could be a shliach l'halacha, and therefore, both male and female could be a shliach l'halacha from the husband, and a shliach l'kabbalah to receive it from the woman.